Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hello and welcome to Behind the Headlines, a place where we take a longer look at those stories our reporters have been out and about covering for our bulletins today. Well, first, and the government's online safety minister has been telling us that he'll hold tech bosses personally accountable if action isn't taken to remove deepfake abuse images being shared online. Last month, we brought together 5 women whose social media pictures were manipulated by AI without their consent. MP Kanishka Narayan says that has to stop and he's taking action.
The tools to make them are banned. The people who make them are criminalized. They have to be taken down within 48 hours. And if that doesn't happen, tech bosses are personally criminally liable as well. And so we have the toughest regime to act against that category of harms.
Well, you can listen now to part 2 of our Deepfaked special. Just search Deepfaked in the Rayo app. But here on Behind the Headlines, we can give you a preview of what's in store when you listen to Jasmine's story.
I was just doing what I always do, checking comments, looking through notifications, making sure I hadn't missed anything work-related. And then I saw it. A photo of me in my underwear. Except it wasn't me, it was AI-generated. I remember just staring at it for a second because my brain genuinely couldn't process what I was looking at. I knew it wasn't real. But instantly, I also knew other people would think it was. And that panic hits you really quickly. Blind panic. Who's seen it? How far has it gone? What does this mean for my job? What else is out there? I'm Jasmine Oak, and over the last few months, I've become one of a growing number of women targeted by AI-generated deepfake abuse. Fake images that are causing real harm. And the frightening thing is, it's becoming easier than ever. After I shared my story, I was contacted by women across the country going through the same situation. One of them was Jodie. I asked if we could jump on a Teams call.
So if it's all right with you, can you tell me about the moment you discovered that you had a deepfake made of you?
Yeah, in 2021, I received an email directing me to a pornographic website. That's when I saw that my photos had been digitally altered. At that point, I kind of froze, and there was this period of just absolute shock at what I was seeing. It looked so like me, but I knew that I hadn't taken those photos and videos, and I knew that they weren't me. It was really devastating, to be honest.
How has it impacted you?
You know, I was living in this really heightened state of, you know, feeling that I wasn't safe. It beats you down, you know, it makes you smaller and it makes you want to share less, to do less, to be around fewer people, to keep your circle closer. That's the reality of this harm. It's not just, you know, one thing, one picture, one event. It continues to sort of haunt me.
And as a reminder, if you search Deepfaked in the Rayo app, you can listen to Jasmine's story in full. Now, I know if you're not an England fan, you're probably sick of hearing about it, but let's chat England, shall we? And Harry Kane says he experienced a hero moment after saving England from a World Cup upset. His 2 late goals secured his side a 2-1 win. Our reporter Freya Taylor watched the action at a pub in Hampshire.
It's safe to say the atmosphere here is electric as England's won the first knockout round against DR Congo. People here are certainly excited.
It felt like there was a mini earthquake in the pub when we scored. It's coming on!
England, come on, we're going all the way.
When that first one went in, sigh of relief, and then that second one in, it was just unbelievable, so good.
The 2-1 win means the team will move on to the next round against Mexico on Monday with a 1 a.m. kickoff. For now though, fans are continuing to enjoy the win.
Well, with a 1 a.m. kickoff in the early hours of Monday for England's last 16 match with Mexico, experts are warning anyone staying up might end up both sleep deprived and poorer. They've been looking into the way that advertisers are scoring big from the World Cup. Let's cross to our chief reporter, Andrew Kay.
Well, I think most fans agree football is best when enjoyed together, and of course your team is winning.
It felt like there was a mini earthquake in the pub when we scored.
It's coming on! England, come on!
Those fans in Hampshire were in high spirits after watching the 2-1 victory yesterday, which kicked off at tea time. But in the early hours of the morning, possibly sat on your own in a quiet front room, it's a very different experience.
We researched mostly Asian viewers who are following Champions League matches or British football, and they watch those matches at very odd times.
That's Dr. Shikha Bashkar, an expert in digital marketing at the University of Plymouth.
We identified that these guys were not able to remember those brands as much as any person who was watching in an idle time, let's say in the evening or in the afternoon.
He says brands are now increasingly simultaneously targeting the ads you see on the billboards on your phone to make sure they hit home. And they know you're more likely to impulse buy when you're tired.
So that synchronized advertising leads to double capture of attention. And because the viewers are mentally fatigued, they are not able to process that information perfectly, and they are more likely to have purchasing product they would have normally not gone for, such as gambling, ordering of late night food.
Now this comes as research for Snapchat of more than 1,000 Gen Zs found 3 in 4 expect to watch matches whilst also on their phone to make the experience more social. So rather than football coming home to a more depleted bank account, Dr. Bashkir suggests just watching the early morning games on the TV rather than also with the device at the same time.
Now, lots of events making it feel like summer at the minute. Wimbledon, the World Cup, and Henley Royal Regatta too. And one of New Zealand's greatest ever rowers has been telling us why she loves it so much. Grace Prendergast is an Olympic gold medalist and a 5-time world champion. She's back at this year's regatta as a steward and told our reporter Jonathan Richards why the event is so special.
I mean, I've raced in so many international regattas, but none of it brings this sort of vibe on the bank. None of it brings the same atmosphere, the same unique relationship between spectators and rowers. So you're on the water, you are so close to spectators, everyone's cheering for you. You come off, you're surrounded by people in lovely outfits and lovely clothes, and you get to really integrate it. A lot of other international races, you are heads down, you're protected from all of that atmosphere, which is obviously great for your training and racing, but you don't get to really enjoy it.
You're a New Zealander. What brings crews from all around the world to Henley? Is it that uniqueness?
I think so. And from New Zealand, it's not an easy regatta for us to attend. It's in our off season. It is so far away, and you still see so many clubs and schools making the effort to come over. And that's because we don't have anything like this in New Zealand. The tradition that dates back years and years and years, you can feel as you're walking around, as you see the trophies with all the names on it, as you see sort of everyone that's maybe of all different ages coming back to spectate. And then also, it's great racing.
Sir Keir Starmer has today said sorry on behalf of the state to all those affected by nearly 30-year scandal, where it's estimated 185,000 babies were taken and then placed in adoption across England and Wales. Our political correspondent Tom Claiborne has more.
Between 1949 and the mid-70s, young mums across the country were often pushed to give up their babies, usually by charities and religious groups, leaving many feeling abandoned, shamed and without help.
The state did not do enough to protect mothers, children and families from harm. And for this systemic failure, I am truly sorry.
The Prime Minister speaking in the Commons earlier. This comes 3 years after governments in Scotland and Wales apologised, with calls from the Joint Committee on Human Rights for Westminster to do the same thing, dating back to 2022.
Not only knowing you're sorry, but then trying to repeat and explain the story you don't really know about time and time again, and going through the pain, going through the sense of guilt, going through the shame. Every time you relive that story, it's another torture.
That's Phil Frampton, who was taken from his mother at birth in Cornwall and now lives in Greater Manchester. Some campaigners have been to Number 10 today, pushing for extra help, like quicker access to counselling and making records easier to find. The government says it will implement all of this in full, but Phil has told us ministers have got plenty of work to do.
How do you get help finding your relatives? How do you get psychological support for all the damage which you've done, counselling and so forth? It's not easy to bring together adoptees and their birth mothers. It's not easy at all, and the government has to put the money behind them.
Last month, the Church of England also apologised for its role in forced adoptions, telling survivors the shame is ours.
Next, and two of three teenage boys involved in a serious sexual assault in Fording Bridge have had their sentences increased after they were found to be unduly lenient. The two older boys have now been given 4 years of custodial sentence. Our reporter Freya Taylor has the story.
Lady Chief Justice Baroness Carr said a non-custodial sentence for the two older boys could not be justified and has increased their sentences to 4 years in detention. The Court of Appeal decided the judge in the initial trial had wrongly assessed the level of harm, explaining the decision to the boys as they watched via video link from Southampton Crown.
X and Y participated either as principals or as assisters or encouragers in multiple rapes carried out in front of others, and in which the complainants were subjected to humiliation and degradation, in particular by the filming of the offences as they took place.
A third boy involved in the attacks has kept his original sentence because he's very young. One of the victims previously said she doesn't think she'll ever be the same and that the trial broke something inside of me.
Next, and music fans around the country are being urged to donate blood this week. It's in collaboration with heavy metal legends Metallica, and our reporter Ellie Kumar has been investigating.
Well, when Metallica tell you to do something, nothing else matters. The band have teamed up with NHS Blood and Transplant to encourage more people to sign up to donate blood after warnings that stocks have dropped significantly because of the recent heat waves. So as a first-time donor, I headed to the Newcastle Centre earlier to see if I could help, where staff member Craig, who's something of a master of puppets here, took me through the process, starting with a questionnaire and one quick test of my haemoglobin levels.
Can I use your right hand?
Yep.
We're just going to test this. Now, it's a very basic test. I'm going to take a little drop of blood from your fingertip, okay? And we're going to drop it into the blue liquid. Now, that liquid's called copper sulfate. So, look, all you need to see is for that to sink. There you go. Plenty of iron.
Good.
Good diet.
It's sad but true, but donated blood only has a shelf life of 35 days, so the NHS explains it's vital to keep stocks replenished. Staff at the Newcastle Centre tell me this has been an incredibly successful campaign, with metal fans and regular donors alike rushing to get involved. Now it was time for me to settle into the big chair and see how much of my blood could be taken to help other people all over the country.
This is the important bit. This is what we need to do. Right, I'm going to put a pressure cuff on your upper arm. You're going to feel it getting a little bit tight as I apply the pressure. It just helps basically distend the vein and make it pop up. That's all I want to do. I want to see what we've got there. So let's have a look at it. So a little bit of pressure on there.
Well, after the process, it's less whiskey in the jar and more tea and biscuits, where Summer, who's a donor carer here, tells me why it's such a vital campaign.
It saves lives on a daily. I mean, I don't think people realise how much it's needed in hospital, and you never know when you're going to need it yourself. You never know if you know anyone who's going to need it.
The Metallica Blood Drive, with the band's charity All Within My Hands, continues at donor centres and community sites around the country for the rest of this week, tying in with their UK tour dates before the bell tolls for their first night in London tomorrow.
Going to end now with an animal story, because why not, hey? And a cat in Cornwall has become an unlikely internet star after turning up at home bright blue. Wilbur, who's a two-year-old tabby, left her owner baffled. Our reporter Nathan Marsh has more.
Wilbur's owners posted on Facebook saying at first she feared someone had been targeting cats in the area. The mystery was quickly solved, though, when a neighbour explained the blue powder had come from footballs filled with harmless dyed cornstarch used for a gender reveal celebration. Wilbur's now back to normal after a bath and totally unfazed.
And there's more on these and other stories on the news pages of our radio station website. Come back again tomorrow, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the Rayo app. A new episode of Behind the Headlines is uploaded every weekday evening.